I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
The following is a message from the Heritage Meat Shop.
Are you tired of just hearing buzzwords? Do you want to actually take part in the food revolution? Then come on down to the Heritage Meat Shop, located in New York's historic Essex Street Market, on the corner of Essex and Delancey. We have rare breed pork, beef, poultry, lamb, and goat, not to mention charcuterie that'll make you squeal. All raised right, by the right people, so you know they'll taste right. Try the meat that over 100 New York chefs ache for. Come to the Heritage Meat Shop and pick up some revolution today.
For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Good Monday afternoon to everybody, and welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. My co-host and producer extraordinaire, Sophie Schlesinger, is in the room.
Hi, everybody.
And our show is being produced by Joe Gallagara. Did I say that right?
Very close.
Okay. What is it so I know for future?
Galarraga.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. So today's episode is going to be all about the Cheesemonger Invitational.
The epic battle
equivalent of like the Cheesemonger Olympics that took place this past Saturday at Larkin Logistics, which is a bonded warehouse in Long Island City. And so we're going to have two guests, and we're going to see it from the inside and from the outside. Our first guest is going to be Adam Smith of the Cowgirl Creamery in Washington, D.C., who was this year's victor. And then we're going to be joined a little bit later in the show by Adam Moskowitz, who is the organizer and coordinator of the Cheesemonger Invitational. So, Adam, thanks for being on the show with us.
Thank you for having me. It's awesome.
Congratulations on your big win.
Thank you very much.
Are you like, is there like a ticker tape parade in D.C.? Are you being like welcomed with flowers and confetti? And
yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, there's going to be a parade. They're going to shut down most of the streets.
Good.
It happens all the time in D.C. anyways.
Little Obama's going to come give you a special, like, you know, medal, big wedge of cheese on it.
I have yet to receive a medal, but I also expect a sash of some sort.
Oh yeah, sashes are pretty. That would be nice for behind the counter.
Exactly.
Oh, so tell us about your experience at this year's Invitational. What was it like to be a competitor, and what do you think the most difficult part of the challenges was?
I mean, the competition was awesome. It was great to be around so many cheesemongers in one day at one place.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was nerve-wracking. For me, I was nervous. I think I kept saying that to people, and I don't know that anybody else was nervous.
I think everybody was nervous. And if they said no, they were hiding it.
I hope so. It was awesome. It was a really good day. It was a really long day, but I was pumped. I was in a warehouse full of cheese, surrounded by people who dig cheese as much as I do. And it was like we got to do what we do every day behind the counter, but with an audience and a lot of beer.
Up on the stage. Yeah, absolutely. So can you walk us through a little bit? What was the process? Like, what was the, I know there were a couple rounds of the competition. Can you describe, what those rounds were?
Definitely. So 2 o'clock on the dot, I got there about 2:05. But it started at Larkin for preliminary trials. My only hope was that, and if it's loud, I'm walking through Princeton right now with my brother.
Oh, nice. Oh, that sounds great. Well, tell your brother thank you for sparing you for 10 minutes.
What's that?
I said, tell your brother thanks for sparing your company for 10 minutes. We appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. They say thank you. My only hope was to get to the finals. First round was multiple choice test, and I had no idea what to expect for the test. It was put together in a very cool way. There was a good mix of like cheese making questions, very specific cheese making questions. There was a question about Wallace and Gromit, which luckily through my father owning the box set of VHS Wallace and Gromit videos, I nailed. And so it was a good mix. Some international, some domestic stuff. It was really cool. After that, and like each time a new round started, we had to walk up and over the stage and like get the test, or for the second round, get the, what was the second round? Second round was blind tasting. Blind tasting, right?
Yeah, blind tasting.
So we had five cheeses.
Adam has joined us in the studio, by the way.
You guys want to know what the cheeses were?
Wait. He's explaining to us the rounds, and then, yes, let's hear the cheeses.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I have to, give away my answers.
Can I get a beer?
The blind tasting, five cheeses, all very, very good cheeses, and we had to identify milk type, treatment of the milk, so whether it's pasteurized or it was unpasteurized. Approximate age in like two-month intervals, country of origin, and then if you dare guess the name.
Sounds intense. Sounds very intense. So that was in the first round.
It was fun though.
And I heard that from a couple different people that test was really difficult.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, it was. It was. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know if they were going to focus on cheese making, focus on like, I don't know, customer, you know, frequently asked questions at the cheese counter. I had no idea what to expect, but they did a really nice job with it.
Cool. Very cool. God, Adam's so prepared. I just got a little copy of the test in front of me. Okay, so you did your cheese test. You had your taste test, and then I think there was a final element before you make it to the finals, round two.
Yes. The final. Adam, help me out. I'm
cheese
blanking.
Of the day, bro.
It was...
Cheese of the day. You had to go up and do a mock sales approach.
Yes. So we had to hop up on the mock counter on stage, and everybody had to unwrap a piece of cheese.
What'd you have to bring? What'd you have to bring? Wait.
Present their sign.
Yep, there you go.
What's that?
What'd you have to bring?
A sign. So I had to make a sign. I attempted a spotty illustration of a cow.
Well done.
And luckily it worked out.
Extra points for degree of difficulty there. That's hard.
Yeah. So, I was a little nervous because I saw microphones and I was thinking to myself that I have to get up in front of everybody and be on the microphone. Luckily, Adam had the mic at that point, so there were three judges, and it was great. I mean, I feel most natural behind the cheese counter, so I felt great being in front of the counter and on a bit of cheese.
That's totally awesome. And so then so you obviously nailed those first three rounds. Then for the finals, there's a whole other a whole other host of challenges. It seems like, just to go through them quickly, there's an introduction where you have to introduce yourself.
Which is terrifying, terrible.
Yeah, you're like, I'm a cheesemonger, and I'm awesome.
And there's 500 or 600 people in front of me.
Yeah. So then the next round is cutting. You have to, cut exact pieces of cheese and showcase how you can do that without using a scale, which, you know, we all get excited about as cheesemongers when you nail an exact quarter or half pound. And Adam's got your...
They had a wide range of tools, which is very cool. They had the double-handed. They had a, the cheese machete and also the wire. So everybody got a choice of what to use.
Nice. Nice.
I'd like to comment. Yeah. I'd like to comment. Adam, thankfully, did not cut over on any of his slices. He does not have a heavy thumb. Well done, Adam.
that's the only one I'm trying to sell cheese.
Yeah, Adam Moskowitz. That's like one of your pet peeves, right?
Serious pet peeve.
No, yeah, and that's what Adam was saying. Is like, if I ask for a quarter pound, I want a quarter pound.
Don't sell me a third of a pound. That's total cheating. We all know what's going on there.
I hate bait and switch.
It's a little.
Don't
heavy,
bait and switch
okay?
me. Yeah. Here. Just another extra $5.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So then we had a paper wrapping. You had to wrap your cheese and show off your fancy cheese origami skills. And then last but not least, plate your slate, which I think is a really difficult one because it's about creating a pairing of, you know, cheese and some condiment of your choice that's going to wow a really impressive panel of judges. So what did you do for the plate your slate?
I plate the slate. I have a soft spot for Lancashire. And so what I did was I took Effie's oat cakes, which is a killer oat cake, and I ground it up with a little bit of egg white, and I used a mini muffin pan. First time in my life using a mini muffin pan, it went very well, and made like little Effie's oat cake cups, and in there I used some pate that we get locally from a guy named Jamie Stokowski who makes just killer pate, and it's a country-style pork pate. So a little cube of pate, not too heavy, and Lancashire on top, an October wheel of Lancashire, which is killer, and then spicy plum chutney on top, and then the beer that I paired it with was Meantime IPA, which my brother helped me select.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
it sounds
like a
whole
meal. That's like a dish. Yeah.
It sounds like an Eccles cake, but with the added bonus of like meat products, which is so awesome.
Well, you know, Michael Jones from Neil's Yard, he actually brought like half a dozen Eccles cakes.
Yeah, I actually tried his pairing.
It was awesome.
It was really delicious.
Oh my gosh. I'm a sucker for Eccles cakes. They're so good.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
All right. Well, so then, you rose to victory. You strode off the stage, I'm sure, like pumping your fists and everything. And now let's backtrack just a little bit for a second. Then we'll let you go hang out with your brother. So how did you become a cheesemonger? And just the short version.
I got my undergrad degree. I wanted to do study abroad facilitation, which I did a little bit of. And then, like, I had worked in kitchens for a long time, but nothing fancy, no fancy kitchen, like making sandwiches and pizzas and shit like that. And I got a job on a line at a restaurant, and I loved it. I love being on the line in a kitchen. And I did that for a while. I did landscaping, had my own landscaping with a company with a buddy of mine, Tyler, who's in St. Louis. And from there, I just, like, kept cooking because I was in love with it. And, like, the atmosphere, the speed, just, like, the preparation, it was awesome, learning so much. And then I found an ad for Cheesemonger in St. Louis, which is where I'm from. And it was at the Wine Merchant of St. Louis. And Steve Jones worked there one time, too.
Oh, nice. Last year's champion, for everybody who doesn't know that. Yeah, Steve Jones, amazing cheesemonger.
Yeah, representing the Midwest. And I just fell in love with that. I love being behind the counter. There is just so much to take in behind the counter. I mean, you get to interact with people. You know, you get to work with all sorts of things. Like learning about one singular product enables you to learn about so many things. You know, like culture and history and animals and farmers, and it's awesome.
Very cool.
I agree. Well, congratulations again on your win. It is such a big accomplishment.
Woot,
I mean,
champion.
A field of how many competitors
champion!
This year?
45.
45. Wow. Man.
Champion.
What was 45?
45 competitors this year.
Hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of awesome people. Like, I got to say props to Adam too for putting it together because like it was such an amazing opportunity for me to meet people in the industry and to hang out with people who share our passion. You know, like you don't always get to go hang out with cheesemongers. And to spend a day with a bunch of cheesemongers, a bunch of entrepreneurs, a bunch of cheesemakers, a bunch of importers. It was awesome. It was a really great day.
All right, pay it forward, bro. Give a shout out to three people you were so excited to have met.
Somebody I was so excited to meet.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, man.
Nope. Pick a favorite. Top three. Pay it forward.
The entrepreneur from Loire. I had tasted his cheese at the Fancy Food Show in San Francisco, and getting a chance to see him there. Minway, is that his last name?
Rodolphe Le Meunier.
Yeah, man. That was awesome. That guy's really cool, and his cheeses are amazing. So being able to reconnect with him there yeah, it was all about connecting with people and slang and cheese for an afternoon.
Word. Well, thanks so much, Adam, for taking time out to chat with us. It's been really, really fun, and congratulations again. You should definitely, you know, go knock on the door of the White House and demand your medal and your sash.
Is that where they're holding the sash?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping Barack. I'm praying.
Yeah, I'll go pick it up there.
I'm praying Barack Obama picks this up on Twitter and invites you over to cut some cheese for him.
I will definitely take him up on that request if he comes knocking on the door. We're not too far away. F Street in D.C. Come see us there.
You're literally like 5 blocks away.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah,
so
we're super close.
Cowgirl Creamery, Washington, D.C. Look them up. They're a great, great shop. Make the best cottage cheese in the universe, in addition to a lot of other really wonderful things. So,
we got beer. We got wine. We pour great coffee. Cheesemongers there. Some of the best cheesemongers around. And I'm lucky to work with those guys, too.
Cool. Thanks, Adam.
And now they have a champion amidst them.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. And thanks for the opportunity to be on the show. It was awesome.
Thanks so much.
Congrats, Adam.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'll see you guys hopefully soon.
Excellent.
ACS rally.
ACS.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's the next big one to look forward to. So actually, I think that's a good segue. So Adam said, you know, Adam Smith said that one of his favorite things about the Invitational was, you know, all the people that he met. So, Adam Moskowitz, what is your real goal behind the Invitational? Is it just that, bringing all these people together and letting everybody chill and get to know each other and throw an awesome party?
That is precisely my goal now. I mean, the goal in its simplest form is building community. I would say the first year it was about the party, the second year it was about the monger, and the third year is about the community. And I hope with the community aspect now it will just continue to grow and grow and grow and prosper. But, yeah, bringing people together, working on best practices in a very comfortable setting. I mean, nerve-wracking, but exciting and interesting setting. And, yeah, that's the thing. We got to bring people together. It's, you know, it's we live in a universal culture now. You know, the internet, things like this brings people together. But then you have to have those moments with the face-to-face contact, because that, in essence, is what our business is all about.
Totally. Totally. Well, much respect, because, you know, it's a really awesome event for anyone who can attend, whether you're a cheesemonger or just a cheese lover. It's a really, really cool event. So what about the structure of the event? I know this year was a little bit different than last year in terms of how you organized the competition. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I wanted to make it more dynamic and have more mongers do interesting things and test amidst a variety of sections, right? That, like, there's core from, like, the cheese trivia point of view, for example. There was a lot of, like, questions that had, like, cheese making questions in it, but then there was also history questions, and then there was humor questions. So we really want to, like, you know, really open it up and give it a lot of breath.
And who helped you write the questions, if I can
all
ask?
I didn't actually write any of the questions. I did not write one question. I was going to, but I just forgot, actually. I was too busy. And by the way, I apologize for being late. Just to show my perseverance with cheese, we received at Larkin today 4 containers of French cheese, and they were running a little late because the piers were a little messy because of the rain. So my apologies for being late.
God bless you. God bless you, Adam. Take good care of that French cheese.
I'm taking care
totally
of it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. So, then the taste test round, we just, you know, it's something that we've actually, like, hemmed and hawed and actually decided the day before we were actually going to change the categories. One of the most interesting discussions we have all the time is, like, what are the categories of cheese and how should you categorize them? And then when you say categorize them, are we talking about, like, the cheese nerds that are, like, enthusiasts that are, like, freaking out about the true category? Are we talking about consumer communication and what's important to the consumer and communicating to that? So, on the taste test part, that's something that is interesting, that we, like, we went with, like, what I think were more the consumer straight approaches.
Hmm.
But I think moving forward next year, we're going to actually change that.
Make it a little tricky. Yeah, well, you got to keep it moving, you know, a little bit different each year.
No, well, that's, I think, you know, it's funny, a lot of, like, so Sarah Zebrowski said an interesting thing to me about 15 minutes ago. She was like, you got to learn how to take a compliment, man. And I'm like, and I find that to be really interesting, because I, you know, this event, like, you do it from heart, and you do it because, you know, you love the mission. And then, like, if it's successful, which it seems like it was a success.
Rousing success.
Were you there?
I was not there this year. And
there's failure right there.
That's one gross failure on my part.
It was pretty amazing. It was pretty packed. I was there.
Can you, from a guest point of view, can you give me an idea of what it was like?
It was wild. And I actually, this might be even better than my perspective, but I brought someone who, you know, is not in the cheese world, had never seen anything like it, and they were just, like, completely awestruck from, you know, the mountains of cheese as you walk in and the amount of people who
Steve Jones.
All in the, you know, working in the cheese world. And so that was cool to get, like, a really fresh perspective on it.
Yeah, so one of the cool things that we did this year that was different that I kind of learned from last year, right? So first of all, in general, it's always about innovate or die, right? And you got to constantly be evolving. And so what's really cool about this year is that, like, it's just evolved from the first year to the third year. And this year we really want to key in on the community of mongers. So as well as, well, now it's also overcoming objections. So the second year, one of the issues was it was too long. Right, it was really long, the competition. And I still think this year was still too long. Next year, the finals are going to be hour and a half max, and then we're going straight into party. And I want the ratio of party to finals to be like 1-4. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right now,
it was like three to two
yeah. In favor of finals. And that next year is going to be done. It's going to be 1-4, and we're going to be a lot more partying. Not that I like to party, but it's just more dancing. I didn't dance enough.
Well, you eat a lot of cheese. You got to dance a little bit too, you know.
I didn't eat shit. Actually, the only cheese I ate that night was one of the interesting things that we did last minute. I kind of just threw that in. Was all the mongers that came, they brought their plate to Slate stuff, but not everybody made it to the finals. So we wound up actually handing out Slate going into the last round, and had all of the mongers plate their Slate. And then it was so funny because all of them were like, what do I do now? I'm like, walk around, give it to people, turn them on with cheese.
Serve it up.
Serve it, dude. Or if you don't want to walk around, just put it on a table.
Nice, yeah. And
my point is that's the only time all night that I ate the cheese that, like, all those mongers came to me and were just, like, stuffing my face. But other than that, I didn't eat a damn thing. How was the food?
Food was good.
Yeah.
I had a really, really nice grilled cheese with some Serrano ham. And then it was like a peach Bellini jam, I think it was called.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it was
that
pretty tasty.
So good.
Yeah. And then there was a Morbier raclette, but it was like a goat's milk Morbier.
Ooh.
It was awesome.
I bet a lot of people listening didn't even know there was goat's milk raclette Morbier thing going on.
Yeah, it was pretty
it's possible.
Crazy.
So yeah. Melty and goaty and delicious.
Did you know that like a lot of people, I think raclette, think it's a cheese, but actually that's the noun, but raclette's actually a verb.
Yeah,
it's like cheddar.
To raclette is to scrape.
Right, and to cheddar is to cheddar.
To cheddar is to yes, exactly.
Wow, I wonder if there are more of those.
I bet you
there are. That's a good test question.
That
for
is
next
a good.
Year.
Yeah.
Can you make a note? You have the pen.
Yeah. All right. I'll make a note of that. So let's see. So the winners.
Oh wait. So this year we started at 2 o'clock and we did the first three rounds and it was private, but everybody could bring what I called their cut man, their corner man. Everybody, like, all the mongers that came could bring a guest. And that was for the private part. And we barbecued.
That's
and we had
cool.
music playing. So there's the community, right?
Yeah, like, that's awesome. I thought Sarah, our store manager who competed for us this year, was so stoked about that. You know, she was like, and then we got to have this barbecue and it was really nice before the general public came in. And that's cool to give people who are competing a little intimate chance to get to know each other better.
Well, I'm so neurotic. I actually set up chairs in like a circle.
Did you make everybody do an icebreaker?
Yeah.
I asked them, I couldn't stay there to monitor or proctor, but I asked them to go around and say their favorite M&M. You know? I don't know if they did or not because I had to walk away, but I was hoping they would do that. And if that wasn't going to do it, then I suggested that maybe they play Duck Duck Goose.
Oh, nice. Nice. Much easier than naming your favorite cheese. Which
much easier.
I thought was really hard last year.
First of all, the irony about this whole thing is how serious everybody's taking it.
You don't want to look like a doof in front of your peers, you know?
I do it all the time.
Oh, well, so do I, but like not in like a competition format. You know, you throw the word competition in there and everybody
people are freaking
out.
From other countries, and then it gets serious.
Yeah, so, who was the furthest flung guest this year? I know last year you had mongers from Australia.
We had one monger again from Australia.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. So, like, the whole, like, there's so much I'd love to talk about regarding this. But one thing is like, I kept the, it's an invitational, so everybody's expecting an invite. And, like, you can't email every cheese shop that exists. So calibrating that and trying to get that accomplished is really difficult. And one of the things I really wanted to focus on this year was kind of getting more of America's states. I haven't done the final tally yet, but I think I hit like 22 states this year.
Wow, that's awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So I really kind of didn't publicly promote like the registering of. I kind of just like kept it like subversive and underground and was just emailing people like and getting like Kate Arding and Cultured Cheese to help me and like because their database of mongers and retailers is just extreme and blah, 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 blah. And so we didn't have a strong foreign contingency this year because I kind of like kept it close. I didn't like it, like the funny thing is that like the EU especially seems so far away, but it's actually like small relative to America, right? Mm. The land grab of America's freaking huge,
right?
You know, like New York State, like you go south to north, you could drive for like what? How many hours? Six?
Yeah, seven? Six. Yeah. Easy.
Right. And
easy.
You know, do you know how many countries in the EU?
That's
you
half could of
bang,
France.
You could bang out in like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So my point is that like I really want to give American mongers a chance, but I didn't want to actually say it's for American mongers because I thought that was like not cool. And more importantly, I'm hoping that other countries, you know, take note and start doing their own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, sure.
Like there was a guy in Australia that was like, or I'm not going to mention names, but like came up to me and was like, you know, we could do this in Australia. We don't, you know. And I'm like,
absolutely.
I'm like, great. Yeah. I'm like, I hope you do.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to get to be like the Olympics where everyone's going to have trials in their home country and then they'll qualify to come
for
to your invitational.
Yeah.
Well, funny enough, Rodolphe Lemonnier is actually working on a world championships in Tours next June.
And would you send would you send Adam, our champion from
this
year?
Well, no, so I actually have been commissioned with bringing the American team.
Wow.
Adam is the first member of the team. And I am struggling right now because I already told the person that's the second member that they're the second member, but I kind of now am feeling a little greedy and want to like open up like another competition before it and like,
right.
And like, and
yeah,
like
narrow the field, make sure you know.
But I did already tell the other dude that he's number two, so I don't know what I'm going to do yet about that. I'd rather not continue talking about this.
Okay, let's change the subject. So wait, the winners this year. So who are the top three? So Adam Smith was the winner, Cowgirl Creamery DC.
Right, hold on.
He's got the stats.
I got all my favorites here. So Adam Smith was number one. Justin Trust Claire of St. James was number two. Brian Bernie Bland was number three from Pastoral. Andrew Clark from Fromaggio Essex was number four. Sean Hartwick from Zingerman's was number five. CJ Benair. I always forget his name. Benair from Cheese Shop of Des Moines was number six. Amy Thompson, local favorite. Lucy Zway was number six, tied with CJ.
Yeah.
Paul Price from Consider Bar was number seven. My little streetwalker.
Yeah.
Patrick Kolef from Reliable Cheese was number eight. An old Murray's alum, like yourself, by the way. Miles Laird from Pasta Shop was number ninth. Laura Heifetz was number 10th, and Alex Garcia was number 11th. Alex Garcia actually sadly had to leave without finishing his slate because he has fatherly duty and ran too late, so dude had to bounce. It was so sad.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Poor Alex.
Totally. Totally. Well, you know, that just goes to show you. Good monger, good dad.
Great people.
Get it all done.
Get it all done.
All right. Well, so we've just got a couple minutes left, but there were a couple of things that we wanted to talk about. We were talking a lot about the Invitational today at our little office in Brooklyn and, you know, suggestions for next year. I feel like you've probably already gotten a million.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten a handful.
A handful. Well, just
a handful. And I'd like more. I don't want them right now. I would like people to send me an email. Very politely send me an email with criticisms and suggestions, constructive criticisms.
Always constructive.
And suggestions, and we will consider them. This is the, so finally this year, the Cheesemongers Guild, the Secret Society, the Secret Society is going to start this year.
Are we going to get to wear robes?
Yeah.
And meet on like the full moon?
Yes. And the question is, you know, how do you get into the Cheesemongers Guild? And the answer is, you'll know.
I like it. It's so nice that it could be tied. I was just thinking about your story about the ports in New Jersey and like what used to go on at the ports, you know, back in the day. Like this would be really bringing it back. Like a bunch of shady people hanging around the ports late at night. Cheesemongers.
Actually, I just got news today. The ports are actually possibly going to go on strike nationwide next September and October.
Whoa.
Scary news in my world.
For anyone who's selling cheese around, well, yeah.
Now, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, like, so here's, like, it's so funny. Like, literally, this is happening today that, like, there's an announcement. I could actually send you the email and show it, but there's an announcement that because things are becoming so automated and because technology is becoming so pervasive, the longshoremen are deeply concerned
about their jobs, I'm sure.
Yes, ma'am. And so nationwide, but the possible strike, which means that, like, our ports are shut down. Like, that's, in a lot of ways, that's, like, how you fight wars.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Literally, that's how nations fight wars. They shut off supply chain.
It's like that game, Risk. Yeah, so, I never got into it. But
so the big question is, what are we going to do? Now, the good news is if we already have a plan here at Larkin. At Larkin, we have a plan.
Yeah? What's that? Are you also a longshoreman? No, little sneak.
No.
Just kidding.
I'm not going to tell you my plan because...
trade secrets.
You know. I like how you gave me a really nice quote and something that was written about me this week where you were like, he's the guy behind. And I like that. I'm gonna like after the Cheesemonger invitation, I'm gonna go into my shell and like disappear and like come back again next year.
Totally. No, you're the guy who makes it all work. It's like, you know,
we are the people that make it all work. Actually, that's like, I think part of the most important thing about what we're doing here with the Cheesemonger Invitational is that like, there's a lot of people in the supply chain, right? And first and foremost, what's the definition of a cheesemonger? That historically it was the guy at the market that was cutting cheese, just like the fishmonger was like serving fish and the butcher serving like butch and the candlestick makers, you know, making candles, you know, the song. So we're evolving that, right? We're evolving that like what's happened over time is that, you know, first and foremost, simple fact, dairies, the place where milk is brought in the morning and cheese is made, historically speaking. But these dairies today, they have cheese shops in the front of their dairy and they're selling cheese.
Yeah.
So they're cheesemongers. And then like the affineurs, you know, they you know, the deal works in various ways, but theoretically and most simply speaking, they buy the cheese, they age the cheese, and then they sell it. You know, that's why Philip Goode, did you see Philip?
Mm-hmm.
He was a superstar cheese guy in the building. He had his wife, lovely woman. Philip was there. He's there. Dude, Philippe's there every year.
He's awesome.
Love
him.
Yeah,
so many good people.
But his title, sales manager, you know, international sales manager. So they're mongers, you know, and then the cheese importers, they're mongers.
Yeah.
Because what they got to sell to the distributors. And distributors, they're not so much mongers. They're delivery guys. But whatever. You know, let's not harp on that point. And then retailers naturally are mongers. So then you got people that are actually like jumping around, right? You got people like Cowgirl Creamy. Let's take our winner. They are cheese makers.
Distributors.
They're cheese importers. They didn't
import.
Importers.
Yeah.
They import.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to remind you. They're importers.
Mm-hmm.
They are distributors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also retailers.
They're vertically integrated, man.
It's just freaking amazing. How, like,
you need to do a taxonomy of mongers.
Yeah.
Mongerdom. Then that should be a t-shirt.
Well, there's a lot.
Next year's t-shirt.
So one of like the most interesting things now is like it seems like I'm going to be starting to teach classes on cheese.
Oh, good.
I think I'm going to start teaching classes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
bring them in. Get more people on this wagon.
Yeah. Well, so preach. It seems like I'm becoming like the Billy Graham of cheese or something. That like I heard so many times throughout the evening. Like preach on, brother. Preach on.
That's great. All right. Well, really quick, the only two suggestions that are coming from, you know, from the people we've spoken to, which is basically the people who work at our Cheese Cave, is to offer some sort of a best newcomer award, almost like they have at the Grammys, you know, like best new artist.
I like that. We could do that right now.
Because
I could do that right now. Next. What's the next one?
Okay, well, wait.
Are we going to... Am I just done? By the way, do I get two segments or just one segment this time?
Yeah, no, we're just going all the way. Yeah, we've got like a minute or two left, but...
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But so best new artist, because Sarah, our cave manager, who's new to cheese, was pointing out that a lot of the people in the competition were a monger for a year or less. So that could be super cool.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
And it's just like an added distinction.
I'm gonna work on that right now. Hold on. Okay. What's number two?
Okay, so work on it. And then, just also people getting some feedback about their scores. I know.
Oh, already working on that too. That's
sweet.
That's these are easy.
Oh my God.
You guys are the best.
He's all over it. Okay,
so, good. Right while I was working on, the 120,000 pounds of French cheese I received today, I was also, what's the word? Correlate? No, correlating? Collating? Collating the first three rounds. We have a stack of papers for the first three rounds of the taste test, the trivia, and the scores on your salesmanship. And we're collating that into Monger, and those are going to be made available to our Monger so they could see that.
So perfect. Cool. So cool.
So cool. Of course, if there's not a feedback loop, then what are we
How
doing?
Can we get better?
Right. It's not, it's not, this isn't 180. This is 360.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sweet. So okay. Then like best newcomer. Well, so I don't know off the top of my head who has been a monger for a year or less. I don't know. It's weird. Is that how you decide on a newcomer? Let's talk about this. How do you decide on a newcomer? Is it year or less, 12 months or less, or is it first time at the competition?
I'm thinking it's a year, like new to the profession. Yeah. Somebody who's like a young gun, just cutting their teeth.
Yeah. I got to kind of say to that, like, I don't think they should really be competing at the Invitational. This is supposed to be a best of series. You know what I mean? I hear you. But I don't really think they belong in the competition. I mean, I applaud them for participating. I'm not trying to discourage newcomers, but like, I don't know. I'll have to think about.
All right.
I mean, think about it. Why? I mean, one of the biggest challenges. There were certain cheese shops that competed this year that had a cheese off at their own shop. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
A trial.
Before the trial.
Well, one of the cheese shops had an 18-man trial. I mean, 18-human trial, because there were women involved. 18-human trial. Like, so part of me says that every cheese shop should be definitely responsible for sending their best representation to showcase what their shop is all about. I mean, part of what will be evolving here is, like, it's not just about the monger. I'm hoping to try and incorporate more of the ethos and the spirit of the shop into what's going to be presented at the experience, right? So like the signs, for example, I've got all those signs. So we're going to take those and those are going to be put on the website. And you're going to see what hopefully a sign looks like from all these shops. Like the whole feedback loop, I'm totally into it, man. I mean, just look at how much data I brought over.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's so impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm organized.
Well, I totally appreciate
it. Wait, so best of new school. So I'm going to give a couple of shout outs. I'm going to say that Dylan Heister of Bedford Cheese Shop placed extremely well. There's a lot of ties. If you look at like the tops coming out of the prelims, there's a lot of ties, right? So like Dylan was like, I'd say top 15. And I give a shout out to that. Saxelby's did well. Sarah did well.
Nice.
Sarah did well.
Woo.
She wasn't at the bottom. She's in the middle, which I think is good.
Awesome.
Congratulations. I'd say like most spirited, Lilith from Brooklyn Larder. I think she probably, it's so like, that's the thing. The two people I think about are Lilith and Kate. The two of them I know are, I think, within a year. And I think they get an A for spirit. I actually didn't get a chance to try Kate's, Plate the Slave, but I did try Lilith's and it was absolutely delicious. Lilith scores a couple of points for, unsanitary dress code, but it was an unsanitary evening, so I'll give her extra. I'll give her extra points for them breaking the rule.
Nice.
That's the state. Shout out to the person that flew the longest was Cleo from Blackwater Deli in Australia.
Sweet.
And what else? What do we got?
Well, I think actually it is a sad, sad fact, but I think we've got to wrap up the show. Do you have anything else you want to say? I mean, anyone who wants to
we don't have time to call Peg Smith and get her reaction?
Oh, I don't think we've got time on today's show. I'm
Peg,
so sorry.
Peg, we love, can you on another time without me being here? could you call Peg?
Absolutely. We love Peg.
Because what I think is really cool is like trying to figure this out and realizing one of the weirdest things for me is like this has taken on a life of its own and really has become a spotlight for cheesemongers and a reason to be inspired and a place to actually assimilate and socialize and gather. And Peg and Sue, the two women behind Cowgirl, are people that I love dearly, and are both as individuals such magnanimous people. Sue is like the aunt we all wish we had, and Peg is someone that I would lead and I would follow into battle. If she let her charge anywhere, I would gladly be right behind her with my spear or my battle axe.
Or my
cheese knife. A double-edged cheese knife, because I come in with two hands. I mean, double-handled. That's what I meant. Anyway, my point is that, like, last year, I was rather vigilant with certain people about making sure Monger was present. And Peg was like, yeah, we're not going to be sending anybody this year. And I was like, I actually, because I love Peg, like called her up and was like, what do you mean you're not sending anybody this year? Like I took it as a personal affront. And Peg was like, Adam, I really, 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 really respect what you're doing. And I'm not sure that I have the right person to send in there this year to really accomplish what our brand's all about. And I was like, wow, holy cow. Peg is taking this event seriously. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
So to actually have Adam come in and actually win and be dominant, like Adam just didn't just win, like you last year almost won, and like Paul came in and stole it from you. You know, you almost won last year.
Think about that every day.
Which I just want to shout out real quick was like amazing, because you're known for domestic cheese, and you actually proved that even, you know, focusing on domestic cheese doesn't mean that core cheese knowledge, core cheese ability, and overall appreciation for cheese shines through in you.
Thank you very much. That is very nice.
My point is that Adam dominated all the way through, so I believe Peg is really, really proud. So if you could call her on another show.
We will call her next week. We will get in on that.
Yep. Sophie, and promise?
Promise.
Yeah. Awesome. We're going to make that happen.
I'm on it.
So cheesemongerinvitational.com. You can check out the competition. You can, you know, keep tabs for next year.
Well, actually, yeah. And then Larkin for Life, LARKIN, #4, LIFE at Twitter. And we're going to be updating the website with a bunch of new video content from this year, as well as things like recipes for what you tasted there, as well as all the signs that the cheesemongers did, and any other wacky, crazy stuff we can imagine.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. This is awesome. And thanks for putting on this awesome event. It's like really, you know, it's a great thing for the cheese community.
Why, you're welcome.
All right. So that's it for this week's show. Stick with us next week. We're going to talk about cheese, state of cheese in Arizona. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.